Hey there, mamas, and welcome back to the podcast. If you are new here, welcome. I'm Aliza Saeed, the Mama Marriage Coach. I wanted to just share with you before we start today a little bit about my day. You know those days when things just don't go like you wished, like at all? So today was definitely one of those days for me. I had so much to do, and I had everything planned out so specifically all on my phone, all the numbers I needed to call today, all the addresses I needed to go to. And then of course today my phone decided it was too tired and it had had enough of life and it just stopped working. And yeah, I'm actually kind of happy to say that I'm phoneless right now, but it wasn't so happy in the beginning. Imagine a sled going down a slippery slope. You know, like in the beginning when you first go down that you're like, okay, here we go. And then you start going down the slope and like that tummy drop that you feel in the beginning, and then it just keeps going and going and going. That's kind of like what I felt like today. Like things started getting out of control and then it just kept going and going and going, and more things got out of control, and you just feel like things are completely out of your reach of control. Then when you're on that slippery slope, you can either scream, let go of the sled and topple down the slope, or you can hang on for the ride and learn to enjoy the ride. Actually, my father always says that about life, that life is like a roller coaster. Really, this slippery slope is something that happens in all different areas of life. When things start going in ways that we didn't expect, or we didn't want them to go in that way, then we're left with a choice of what to do about it. In marriage and motherhood, we meet endless crossroads or slippery slopes of things just rolling out of our control. And then we're also left with endless opportunities to choose how we want to live our lives. Do we want to scream out of terror because we thought we had this fake control? Or do we want to learn how to ride the slopes of uncertainty, of vulnerability, and just really raw living? The only way to really be able to choose is to constantly be on this epic personal development journey. Today we get to hear from a special guest from our conversations also before and after recording, which I always say are usually the best conversations. I learned what a special soul she truly is. Rishma is just pure, genuine honesty, generosity, humility, and a truth seeker. In today's episode, we talk all about the science of personal development. What is it and where to get started? She's great, and you definitely don't want to miss this. Dr. Rishma Walji ran a thriving clinical practice as a naturopathic doctor and acupuncturist for over 20 years, focusing on hormone health and fertility. She also earned her PhD and spent time in academic research and teaching positions. Now she enjoys using science for the purpose of getting the most out of life and sharing those insights with her community. Dr. Rishma is the host of the Exo Conversations podcast, a narrative science and storytelling podcast about personal growth, redefining who we are, and choosing how we live. She is the founder of the Exo Living Community, a supportive collective of growth-oriented members who want meaningful connections with themselves and others while having memorable experiences. Dr. Rishma is currently researching and writing a book on intentional decision-making, largely focused on self-awareness and emotional intelligence. She's interested in the conscious and subconscious influence that guide or mislead the choices we make in life. She has a free workshop on emotional regulation that she's sharing with listeners of this podcast that you could find right down here at the bottom. So hold on, hang on, because right after the intro, we are starting. Hey, and welcome to the New Mama Marriage Bliss Show. I want to help you get out of the overwhelming distance and guide you to reconnect to yourself and to your husband. You know you want things to be different, but you're probably not sure how to make it happen. Well, mama, you're in the right place. Here we will dive into all the things you need to start loving your life and relationship and start living like soulmates and not roommates anymore. We will dive into motherhood, marriage, communication, holistic inspiration, and practical hacks and tips. Mama, I believe that transformation and deep connection await you. Hi, I'm Aliza Saeed, proud mama and grateful wife, and the Mama Marriage Coach. You too can turn your mess into magic. Come on, Mama, and let's do it together. Welcome, Rishma, to the podcast. I'm so happy you're here.
Thank you. I'm really excited to be here.
So why don't you tell us who you are and what do you do?
I don't even know where to start. My career has taken a very big shift. I'm trained as a naturopathic doctor and PhD. I spent 20-ish years in clinical practice treating mostly hormonal issues, helping people with fertility. And then I realized that there was a gap, you know, like we were talking a lot about having kids, and a lot of my patients were making these big decisions about life, you know, IVF, should I have another kid? How can I have another kid? Talking about their families and realizing that their lives were almost on hold. There was like this limbo phase of, you know, where am I now versus where do I want to be in the future? And so I realized there was this gap in personal growth. And so now I'm sort of shifted in my work to look at self-awareness and emotions that guide and sometimes mislead our life decisions, because I'm interested in all of this other stuff that happens in life that makes us follow a certain path. So that's a little bit about my professional life. I also have two daughters that are preteen, getting into the teen years. And personally, I guess I don't like to define myself just by my work. So personally, I love to dance, not at all professionally, but I like to dance around the kitchen. Yeah, so that's a little bit about me.
Awesome. I love how you say the science of personal development. I don't think I've ever really heard anybody talk about it like that. Can you tell us, what does that mean, the science of personal development?
Yeah. So I think I was telling you before we recorded that I really am interested in science. I'm maybe because of my background in science, but also around personal growth, because I'm at this stage now where my kids are a little older. I mean, they still need me. You know, there's still a lot of stuff emotionally that's happening as they move into high school and things like that. But it's a different sort of space. And I have a lot more, I would say, physical energy and a little bit more creativity in my mental space. And so I'm interested in growing personally, but a lot of the things I was reading and hearing about was, you know, wake up at 5 and do this morning routine and do this thing and have this smoothie and go to yoga. And none of it really resonated with me, because I thought, how do I do that while juggling all these other things that I have to do? We have, you know, parents who are now in a different stage of life. They need some support. So there's all these different things that are happening. And I thought, how do I grow, but also make it work for me? And I'm a kind of person who needs to know how things work in order to change them so that they can work for me. So that's where I got into the science of personal growth, because I'm interested in personal growth and I enjoy the science. And I started just looking into things. I took some time off my practice and I was like, I don't know how to meditate. I know it's super important. I've done yoga. I used to meditate, but I just can't get myself to do it on a regular basis. And so I spent 3 days reading all the research on meditation. And I've learned a lot of the strategies that can kind of get you into a meditative state, but not actually be meditating. So sort of a stepping stone, I guess, not really to hack the system, but just to kind of get you to this next place. And people started asking, so I started sharing, and, you know, I did an episode on it on my podcast. So it's like how to get the science that helps you make things work for you when you can't do all the things that, you know, you're in air quotes, you're supposed to do. If that makes sense.
You know, there's something about, I actually just saw somebody post, like, what does self-development mean to you? And everybody answered, like, so cliche, I'm sick of hearing it, stop telling me to do the same things. And I kind of feel like we think that we have to do, like you said, the wake up at 5 in the morning, the, you know, have your green shake in the morning. Like, there's these, like, lists of things that you need to do. And it doesn't always work for people. And I love how you said you needed 3 days to figure out meditation. I'd love to hear more about that. But yeah, just the ability to say you don't have to do what everybody's saying to do, I think is really great.
Yeah, for sure. There's definitely a misconception, I think, because then we get guilt, right? Like, I don't know about you, but I'm like, oh, I should be doing this, especially in my profession. I'm in healthcare. I tell people to eat well, exercise. And then the days that I don't do it, I feel so bad and so guilty. So I start thinking, like, how can I make it work for me? And a lot of the advice is, you know, for people who have free time or who have motivation or who have energy, right? Like sometimes, especially as moms, but just generally, sometimes we don't have any of those things. So how do we make things work for us so that we can continue to strive to get better and get what we want?
I want to take us a step back for 1 second and ask you, what is personal growth to you? Because I think for many people, it can mean many different things. So first, why don't you tell us what is personal growth in your eyes?
Oh, this is a good question. I don't know if anyone's asked me this. I think for me, it's that I have all these big dreams and all of these things that I want. Sometimes I don't even know what I want. Actually, I should clarify. Like there was a time when my kids were young and I was like, I don't even know what I want. I just want to be alone, you know? So I think personal growth is just sort of redefining yourself, rediscovering who you are, what you like, finding things that work for you, and then enjoying life more. That's sort of where my goal is, like enjoying life more. And for me personally, that means trying new things, experimenting, growing and doing new things. But for someone else, it might just be, you know, learning how to set boundaries or, you know, something that just allows them to sort of live in the way that they want to live. That's sort of how I think about it.
Mm-hmm. And why do you think it's so important today?
To have like,
why has
growth?
It become such a fad?
Oh, well, I'm sure it's a fad because, you know, people want it. There's so many things that are distracting us in life. Like we're sort of following along, doing things because we have to or because we're scrambling for financial resources or we don't have enough time, you know. And I think there's, depending on what society you're from, at least here in North America, there's no time. You're doing everything by yourself. You know, you're isolated. You don't have these big families anymore. Like I think there's a need that we're all trying to fill whether it's happiness, whether it's satisfaction, whether it's connection. And I think technology is sometimes great. Like you and I are connecting, but sometimes it's really difficult, right? Like social media and things like that. So, I think it's a fad because we're all searching for something. We all want something in life, meaning or what have you.
Yeah, maybe fad is not the right word. Like, I do think it's a beautiful thing that's happening, but like, you know what I mean?
For sure. Yeah. And it's a necessary thing, right? Like I joke sometimes with my clients and I say like, it's sort of radical self-care. Like we need to take care of ourselves, but we have to be radical about it because it's okay to do it and it's important to do it, but it doesn't mean you sit in a bath, right? Maybe it's something totally different.
Right. Well, what is it for you?
Well, self-care is trying things. For me, it's trying new things. I mean, I really love to learn and grow, which is why I sort of shifted my career, even though this is a totally different subject. I'm going off tangent here, but you were asking me what it means. And very recently I left my practice and I had a clinical practice. I was busy. It was, you know, by all definitions, successful, whatever people call successful. But it wasn't fulfilling, I guess, that spark of interest, that something new. I loved working with my patients. I loved what I was doing, but I wanted more. I wanted to learn something different. I wanted to apply it personally. And so I left, you know, what would be considered stable career and tried something totally new. So for me, that's personal growth, like the courage and ability to try something new that's stimulating to me emotionally, something that is like exciting. For me, that's what it looks like.
Have you done anything crazy? Tried anything crazy?
recently or in my life?
Whatever you want.
Yes. Oh, I love extreme sports. I've jumped out of a plane. I've gone canyoning. I love traveling. Like that's my personality for sure. When my kids were young, I definitely became a little bit more serious and responsible. I think I had all of this, you know, the responsibility of like, I don't want to leave my kids if I get hurt or if there's something happens. So I was a little bit more serious. And now I'm rediscovering the adventurous, playful side of myself. And then right now with my career, I would say the scary thing, the craziest thing I'm doing is I'm trying to write a book and it's like really terrifying. I'm just going to say honestly that it's really terrifying, but it's super stimulating.
Wow. Well, just from the short time that I met you. I'm sure it will be amazing. And I can't wait for it to come out just from us talking for a few moments. So good luck with that. That sounds amazing.
Oh, thank you.
Now, what would you tell a mother who knows that she needs a change? Like, she knows that something is not the way she wants, like you said, to be able to enjoy life more, to be able to feel like you have purpose. And she just doesn't know where to start. Like, okay, personal growth is great, but now what? Like, what should she do? Where should she turn?
Yeah, for sure. And I need to say it, like, right now, I've been doing this for a few years, so I feel like I'm excited by it. But at the very beginning, especially if you have young kids, it's not easy because, you know, you're not sleeping and you're running around after someone and your kids are, you know, about to fall off the playground. You know, they know how to move, but they don't understand gravity. And like, so everything is very intense, right?
Oh, yeah.
And so you forget what your needs are and you forget what your joys are because you're just so heavy with time and responsibility and worrying about somebody else's needs, right? So I would say, where do we start? I mean, the first thing I think is self-awareness, like really just understanding what makes me happy, what brings me joy, what gives me peace, even if it's not joy, even if it's just like an extra night's sleep or a little bit more rest or you know, sometimes if you get fulfilled by chatting with some friends, you know, so the self-awareness piece, I think, is really, really big because sometimes, I don't know if you've ever had this, but when my kids were young and I thought, oh, what brings me joy? Like, what do I want to do for me and not for them and not for my partner and not for anybody else? What do I want to do for me? I had no idea. I was like, what if I try this thing and I take this time away from my family and my husband's home and leaves work early to stay home with the kids so that I can go out and then I don't like it? Like, what happens, you know? But I think having a little bit of compassion for yourself and a little bit of, you know, understanding that it might not always work out. So that self-awareness to say, like, I'm just going to try something that I think will give me a little bit of more positivity in my life and then just keep experimenting. That's what I would start with.
Mm-hmm. And I'll take it even like really beginner level. So self-awareness, would you say sit and journal, sit and think? How would you actually practice even just that self-awareness?
Good question.
We're going like really.
Yeah, yeah, you know, deep. Yeah, I love
personal
it.
Personal growth for dummies, you know? Aren't we all at some time?
You know, I think if we're really going to go into it, self-awareness, there's a lot of different types of self-awareness, right? There's body, like I call it physical self-awareness. So understanding, you know, what makes me tired, there's some beeping in my apartment. Sorry.
No problem. I actually turned my air conditioner off because it didn't stop beeping and like making really weird noises. I don't know what's going on. Special for today, so don't worry about the beeping.
This is like just an example of how life gets crazy because we're doing some renovations in our house and I'm now at my parents' condo and there's like loud noises. I'm like, should we pause? This is terrible.
No problem. That's so
it's exciting. Life. It's
good
life.
Good luck with your renovations.
Okay, so there's physical self-awareness. That's the first thing, right? Like understanding, you know, what makes you tired, what gives you energy, you know, how are your hormones, what's happening with your cycles, like all of these things. You'd be surprised when I would be in practice, a lot of people are not able to really discern, like, oh, I think my period's coming and therefore I'm a little tired. And it's because we're so busy doing other things that we forget to check in with ourselves. So really the physical self-awareness is the first thing. And how do I keep track of that? For me, I write things down. I use an app. I, you know, try to separate myself from the thing. If I have a headache, let's say, I might not be in the presence of mind to notice, oh, I have a headache because I didn't get any sleep and I forgot to drink water, right? But over time, if I notice more headaches and more headaches, then I start to pull back a little bit and be a little bit of a detective and try to take a logical approach to say, like, why did I get those headaches? And what was different about my life when I was getting those headaches? So the self-awareness in the physical body is really important. And then we have to layer on the emotional self, right? So if you have certain reactions, let's say, to, I don't know, an interaction with your husband or an interaction with your kids or something like that, recognizing, you know, of course we're in the emotion. So again, hard to notice that we're feeling a certain way for a certain reason. But when you see those patterns, that's really important to just sort of notice them. Can you journal? Yes, for sure. I don't think I had time to journal until my kids were a little older. So I think it's maybe for some people, it's a really nice time to spend some time alone. And for some people, it's like, I'm not going to do it for myself because I have too many other things. So if journaling doesn't work for you, there's other ways, using apps, writing down your moods, even talking with someone you trust. So sometimes I have these really high trust conversations, I call them, with my husband, and I'll be like, I'm going to tell you something right now, and I don't want you to nag me about it. I don't want you to bring it up and throw it in my face. Like, I just need to be really vulnerable right now and say that I've been eating really badly, you know, and I need help to kind of get back on track. And so we have these sort of prefaced conversations where we can talk a little bit more honestly. And for me, that's really helpful. And then recognizing patterns, like, I don't know if you do this, but sometimes, especially now my kids are going into their teen years, there's a lot of times where there's, you know, the emotional tension, right? It's like they're pushing back and then they're rolling their eyes. And then I'm like, oh my gosh, you know, there's all this tension. And so in the evenings after they go to bed or when we're in our room, we talk about, like, one, what frustrated us about the day, but then also how can I approach the day better tomorrow with my kids? And so if we notice patterns in that, we try to obviously let go of the emotion, but then also noticing things almost like an observer. So that's usually how we talk about it. And then the other way that self-awareness is really important is relational self-awareness. So how do you relate with someone else? You know, so this, I guess this example with my kids is a relational self-awareness, but it's also emotional for me because I know that when they say certain things, there are certain things that really bother me. Like, I grew up as an only child. Luckily, I have lots of cousins, but my kids have each other. So when they fight, I get really, really upset about it. And I'm like, you don't know how lucky you are. I always wanted a sister. But that's my stuff, right? It's not theirs. They're allowed to fight and they're allowed to figure out their own relationship, right? But I get really upset about that. So it's good to notice that it's my stuff, not theirs.
Absolutely. Also, our children are like the biggest mirrors for everything that's going on inside. Like, anything that's happening is, okay, let me see what's going on inside of me that's, you know, bringing up such a reaction. So
for sure.
Love that. Thank you for that explanation. I want to say also about journaling. Yeah, I don't have time to journal either, but I even just like have an app on my phone just of notes. And I like write in two words. Like, I have a note, anger, and I like write in two words, you know, like what made me angry. And then I could look back and see what happened, why that made me angry, what's going on, what's the underlying need that I have. And that's why that's what's coming up. So you could do it like in really simple ways and it doesn't have to be so complicated. So that's
yeah,
awesome.
For sure. That's a good idea. Can I go off on another tangent?
Go for it.
You reminded me of something. I have trouble journaling, but I did start journaling more recently. And I think it's a great tool if people are interested in it. But there's something that happened with my kids. I won't get into the whole story right now. I did like a bit of a deep dive, kind of like the meditation thing, where during the pandemic, my kids were home and I was stressed and there was all the, you know, everyone had stress. There was a lot of stuff happening. And I was, I guess, raising my voice. This is like embarrassing. I'm sorry to say this, but hopefully people understand. I was raising my voice.
Whether we admit it or not, so it's okay.
I'm being open and vulnerable here, but like, and I know everyone does it, but it still feels vulnerable to say. But anyway, I was yelling at my kids. Let's be honest. I was yelling at my kids and it was not them. It was me. I was stressed and they were just being kids, right? They left their stuff all over the place, whatever. It is what it is. And I would, at the end of the night, I would be like, I can't believe that I lost my temper. Like, I need to figure out how to manage this better. So I went into this deep dive of like, how can I connect with my kids? And a lot of the stuff out there is like, you know, count to 10, hold your anger, all of this stuff. But like, when you're in the moment, it's really tough to do that. And so I went on this whole deep dive into like, how to really connect more deeply with your kids. And so I ended up actually journaling. I created a journal and I started journaling, but not to say like, you know, how I should connect with my kids. It was based on the science of connecting with your kids. So it would ask me specific questions based on the science. And then I wrote the questions and then I would write the answers underneath. And then I actually gave the journal to my kids. Wow. Afterwards. So it was helping me because then I started thinking of all these positive things. I was like retraining my memory, retraining my brain the way that I wanted to you know, reapproach our relationship. And then I ended up, after almost a year of writing in this journal, I ended up giving it to them as a gift. And then they read it and saw all of these wonderful things that I had written about. It was actually really special. So there are some really good things that can come out of journaling.
That's so special. I love that idea. Can you share with us some great ways to connect with your kids that are not just what everybody says?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I have the journal if anyone's interested. I'm not trying to plug it, but it was really helpful for me. I'm not a parenting expert by any means. But one of the main things is really to get into the bond, because like we're so busy taking care of them and they're so busy pushing our boundaries, pushing their boundaries, right? Trying to get us to say yes and like pushing the no's, right? And so it's really trying to connect with that bond. So one of the questions in my journal is, you know, here is a time when I felt really connected to you. Here's a time when I felt really proud of you. And you just kind of answer the prompt as like a recognizing the bond that we have and their individuality as well as my individuality as a parent. So a time when I was really proud of my daughter, and then a time when she really needed me and she also took her own steps out into the world, you know? So you're kind of recognizing that bond rather than just talking about random stuff. Because the way the brain works and memory works is if you repeat a story over and over, you remember it that way. So I don't know if you've ever done this, but when we travel with the kids, we traveled once with the kids when they were little to, like, you know, a bunch of different places to visit their grandparents in India and things, or great grandparents rather in India. And when we came back, they didn't remember a lot of the trip, but we have pictures and we have stories. And so I would share stories. Like, I remember the time when, you know, and now they, it's part of their memory. It's almost like they are taking my memory and sort of integrating it into their own. And there's so many times where I'm around parents where we, of course, you know, you're going to complain about when your kid bothered you or whatever. But when you complain over and over and they hear that, that's what they internalize. So this journaling exercise was sort of a way to internalize the positive things and the bonding aspects of the relationship. Does that make sense?
It makes a lot of sense. And it's reminding me of just, I had a really stressful day of like thing after thing after thing, and I was like in total doing mode with my kids. And then I got something done that I needed to get done, and I had made dinner already. And then I was like, okay, now I'm just going to be in the bonding state, like you said. And I was just playing with them, and it sounds so simple, but it really was like a mindset shift of not trying to get something done or not seeing them as a means to something else, but just being in the being of the bond was so special, and it was so much fun. And like, I saw so many changes with some of my kids, you know, of things that were going on, and just identifying that is so powerful and so important. So yeah, that makes total sense.
And it's not small at all. Like, I think that's amazing that you were able to do that and that you were able to really be present. Sometimes I used to remind myself, like, just look at her smile. You know, even if we had a rough day, like just look at her smile. And as soon as I would look at her smile or look into her eyes, like all these other emotions just start flooding you, right? And it's just so much more easy to stay present with them.
Yeah. And it's amazing how you say the kids really internalize what you're experiencing. And when you're in survival and you're just thinking, when are they going to go to sleep? Instead of, you know, understanding what they're going through and seeing them for who they are and looking at how much they've grown. Like I said to one of my children today, I don't know when you became such a man. Like, you're so responsible and so sensitive to everyone else. And like, I saw how his body completely changed as I was saying that, because I was able to recognize and not just be in like my own negative mindset of whatever's going on. So it's amazing how they really internalize what we're living. So that's so powerful and also kind of scary, like a huge responsibility there.
So. For sure. Yeah. It's definitely scary. And it's such a cliche, because when people used to say, oh, time goes by so fast, I'd be like, have you been with me all day? Like, this day was really slow. Could it ever end? But now that my kids are going to high school, I'm like, oh, it kind of did go. It kind of did go really fast. But it's interesting, because before we got on, you had messaged me about, you know, connecting with kids and things like that. And can you, I think you had asked, like, can you connect with your partner, right? And And I think you can apply these same techniques to any relationship, right? Like recognizing the bond. Like my husband and I used to, this is going to sound so corny, but you're so open. It's easy to share with you. Very calming voice. My husband and I used to like reminisce about our first couple of dates. And so for a long time, we'd be like, oh, remember that first time? And we would go to this restaurant and we laughed about this thing and you spilled dessert. I spilled dessert. And he was like, can't take you anywhere, you know, because, but it's like a funny thing that we remember. And now it's sort of like singed into our memories.
Yeah, we actually have a bag on the back of our bedroom door with like all the things from the beginning of our relationship. I think it was for our first or second year anniversary that my husband printed. Then there was like no WhatsApp. It was, I think, like text messages or I don't know. He printed whatever our first whatever was. And we could like go back and read all of those messages. And it's so special to go back. I love reminiscing. And it's exactly like bringing back those memories and let's create more of them. Love that. Yeah. And it's so true. Use the same tools with your spouse. Yeah. I'd love to ask you, I'm so curious about so many things that you spoke about. And I feel like I have to bring you back just to speak about so many other topics. But I would love to ask you, what misconception do you think is like really common about personal growth or connection, whatever, wherever you want to take it?
Oh, this is a good question. Misconception. I think the biggest misconception that I see is that if you ignore it, it will go away. Because it doesn't, whatever it is, whether it's an emotion that was repressed, whether it's an argument that you have over and over and over with your partner, whether it's a hormonal imbalance, like, you know, there's I think, a lot of fear around dealing with things or addressing things or facing things. And so we think that if we ignore it, it'll just go away. Or if we hide it or if we distract ourselves from it, that it'll go away. I think that's the biggest, I mean, maybe it's a misconception, but also I think it's, this is going to be a strong word, but almost a tragedy, because I see in clinical practice, when people have these things over time, they really weigh on you, you know, they really weigh on you, and people have more stress and more stress and more stress. And if you imagine just general stress of life, and then you imagine a stress of not being able to connect with your partner, not being able to connect with your kids, being unhappy at work, whatever the stressor is, as it keeps going over and over, it just starts to eat away at you and it starts to take away something from you. So I think that's the biggest difficulty, where we don't necessarily face the things that we need to face or the things that will help us deal with life better.
Yeah. And maybe also thinking like there will be a better time to deal with it, like not now. Right? Yes. Like when the kids grow up, then we'll deal with it. When our kids will, I remember speaking to someone who said, well, we're in a really bad phase in our marriage, but I know that once the kids are a little bit older, we'll be able to, you know, get things back to how we want them to be. And I was like, you think you could just press pause on your relationship and go back to things when you want? It doesn't work like that. You know, we evolve with whatever is happening in life. So yeah, that's so powerful. Thank you so much for sharing that. Okay, so before we finish here, I would love to ask you some short and sweet questions that I like to ask our moms that come onto the show. So would you like to, maybe before I do that, can you tell our listeners where people can find you?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, my podcast is a good place. It's called XO Conversations. It's sort of a science meets storytelling creative podcast. I'm hoping to do more interviews on there, but right now it's more of a creative expression for me. I am on social media, but I'm trying to get off. I'm having a love-hate relationship with social media. So instead, I'll give you my website. It's livingxo.com. And all of my stuff is on there. My blogs, my events, I do social connection groups and things like that. So livingxo.com.
Awesome. And we'll have it all down here at the bottom. You could just click away.
Thank you. Thank you.
Awesome. Of course. So, okay. So back to our short and sweet questions. Can you tell us what is one of your favorite things about being a mom?
Oh, I love seeing the world through my kids' eyes. It's just so beautiful when you see, you know, there's things that I take for granted or things that I don't really pay attention to. And then I see them through their eyes. I remember there was one time we saw this bird and it was so beautiful and it was flying. And my little daughter was like, it looks so magical. And I was like, you know, I was rushing. I was not stopping to look at the bird when she says, it looks so magical. And I was like, yeah, actually it is. Nature is magical. So I love seeing the world through their eyes.
Yeah, I love that. How about one of the challenges of motherhood?
Oh, I always say that motherhood is such a exercise in dealing with your own stuff, own emotions. Like there's all this responsibility and pressure that I feel towards them, which is definitely a challenge because I want to do the best for them that I can. But then also my own stuff comes up and I don't want to I don't want to pass that on to them accidentally. And then I have to deal with it in real time, you know? So I think that's a big challenge.
Yeah. I always say marriage and motherhood is the most epic self-development journey in the world.
For sure.
Oh yeah.
That's okay. True.
And if you could go back to before you were a mom, what tip would you give yourself?
Oh, that's a good question. I think I would have answered it differently in different stages of their lives. But right now, as they sort of embark on being more independent, I would say I would try to remind myself to stay true to me. Like I feel like there was a few years where I lost some of my playfulness, some of my adventurousness, some of my, I don't know, zest for life because I was so stressed about raising them and doing a good job and this day of the internet, you know, reading everything before I do anything, you know, it was just so much. So I think I would try to remind myself to just be.
I want to leave it at that. Thank you so, so, so much for coming on. This was amazing. And I think we might talk about a second part about many other
Anytime.
Things that I would love to discuss.
Anytime. This was lovely. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this episode. If this has been helpful to you in any way, please share it on with others and let's spread the love together. Also, if you want to be a part of a mama tribe where we support each other on this epic journey of motherhood and marriage, click the link in the description box below to join the new Facebook group. In this group, I'll show up for weekly lives, workshops, and we can expand on the topics we talk about here on the podcast. So click down below and I'll see you in the group.